Blessed Dina Bélanger was born in Quebec City on April 20, 1897. Now, she was the daughter of Octave Bélanger and Seraphia Mutt. Dina was the only child. She had a brother named Simeon Gustave that was born 17 months after her, but lived for only 3 months. Now, Dina from a very young age showed herself to be extraordinarily gifted when it came to music, but Dina was also a very mature child with temper tantrums. Her parents were devout Catholics and would often teach Dina to place all her focus on pleasing God than herself. Dina made her first Holy Communion on May 2, 1907, as well as a confirmation. Now one day, Dina's teacher in school asked her if she knew her patron saint. After Dina replied with a no, her teacher began looking if there was a saint that had the name of Dina. There was no Saint Dina on the calendar of the church either. So Dina said to herself, "Very well, then I shall be a saint and be a patroness to those who will, in the future, be called by my name." She calls this her first ideal. Now on March 25th, 1908, which was Holy Thursday that year, Dina heard the voice of Jesus for the first time. "I see now that Jesus willed it thus. He, my master, was teaching me, enlightening me, shaping and molding me according to his will." Our Lord every now and then began speaking and instructing Dina. Now when the First World War began in 1914, the 17-year-old Dina offered herself to our Lord in a spirit of reparation and love in order to give him some consolation and save souls. She was especially distressed at the moral evil threatening the world, and a little later, she offered herself as a victim of divine love. Now due to the amazing gift that Dina had with music, Dina's parents sent her to New York, where after completing her studies, she planned on becoming a concert pianist. Dina left Quebec City for New York in 1916 with two other friends named Bernadette and Eileen, who would later become nuns themselves. Now Dina, despite her temper tantrums, was a joyful person who was always ready to help all those who came to her. Always smiling and filled with laughter, she was like a young mother to many. Now in June of 1918, Dina finished her two-year course and returned back to Quebec. The course of Dina's life was to take her in another direction because upon returning home, she decided to enter the Congregation of Jesus and Mary at Sillery and took her final vows in 1923. Upon taking the vows, she would be there known as Sister Marie St. Cecilia, where she was given the task of teaching the students music. Though Dina led a humble life, still she suffered illness but offered up this pain in a humble manner and for the suffering of others. Jesus said to her, "This work is mine, not yours. You no longer exist. You can do nothing. Inspiration and facility in writing are my resources. I was your hand, which is my property, to tell souls that I love them with a love they do not understand, and to beg for their love, to quench in some measure the thirst of my heart." In August of 1923, during her first mission, where she taught piano lessons, she contracted scarlet fever after treating a student, but eventually recovered. She resumed the teaching in January of 1924, but this fever soon degenerated into tuberculosis. "You will return to the infirmary where I want to make you write. You will write until the month of July, then the task will be finished because you will suffer too much. I want to make known in writing the intense love with which my heart burns for souls. I want to complain that I am often forgotten, rebuffed. I want to plead for love as a beggar pleads for a crust of bread. I love souls so much, yet very often I am not understood and not loved." This was fulfilled in the writing of her autobiography. Now at the start of 1927, Mother St. Cecilia's health grew worse, and she had to return back to the infirmary in Sillery. This is where she began to receive the invisible stigmata. The stigmata remained invisible just as she wished. No one could see them, but after her death, the infirmarians testified before the beatification process that they noticed an expression of pain on Mother St. Cecilia's face when her hands and feet were rubbed. It was around this time that our Lord began calling her my own little self. She also received revelations from our Lord about his love for priests and consecrated souls. "My priests ought to be other Christs. Many of them are eloquent and have much human learning, but they lack the fundamental science, holiness. Certainly, they are united to me by sanctifying grace, but they do not live intimately, united to me by self-denial and pure love. My priest, I love them so much. And so many of them love me, but little. I call them to be other Christs. That is their vocation. My priests rule the entire religious society." Now on August 15, 1928, she made her perpetual vows. During her retreat for final profession, the devil tempted her to discouragement. even to the point of leaving religious life when a temporary vows expired. She began to see her faults and failings as innumerable and was tempted to lose confidence in God's mercy. But our Lord said to her, "Do not look at yourself, have confidence in my mercy. It is precisely because you are weak and wretched that I have chosen you." Now her health continued to decline after her perpetual vows, but our Lord encouraged her in the depths of her heart, and once she even heard the voice of the Blessed Mother doing the same. Now on April 29th, 1929, she was moved to the tuberculosis isolation ward for good. On the 3rd of September 1929, her parents visited her and spent a few hours with her, in which her father wept and her mother gave her drops of water to quench her thirst. Her father said to her, "We have had many masses said for your recovery. We have prayed much, but it seems you are not helping us a great deal." Her only reply was, "Papa, I want only God's will." It was a heartbreaking moment for her parents. They once lost their son. It would be a tragedy to lose their only daughter too. It also caused Dina much pain having to see her parents suffer too like this. Not forgetting her childhood friend Bernadette also visited her. Now on the 4th of September, she felt weak in the morning, and sometime after 2 p.m, after rosaries were recited by her bedside, she felt that she would die. At 3 p.m, she cried out, "I am suffocating," which made the religious nuns rush to her room to receive her last breath. She died sitting up, in her bed, head thrown back, eyes fixed on heaven. She died in the exact same position as her beloved Saint Therese. She was 32 years of age. Dina Bellanger was declared blessed by Pope John Paul II on March 20, 1993. Her feast day in the Archdiocese of Quebec and the Congregation of Jesus and Mary is usually celebrated on September the 4th. Blessed Dina Bellanger, pray for us.